Well, it's been a great weekend. We've enjoyed it anyway. Just want, before I start this morning's topic, just to ask Elaine just to come and add one little point to last night's talk that she said to me last night, and then somebody mentioned something this morning that fitted well with it, and I thought, yeah, we just need to add that bit in. So just let Elaine just add in a point from last night, and then we'll see where we go this morning.
It was just about the whole thing about discipleship, and you know, the fact that we choose somebody that we trust. But yeah, as Neil said, I said it last night, and we were reminded of it again this morning when we met two ladies out walking. Just the whole thing about confidentiality, and sometimes in the discipleship setting, people will share things with you that they've never shared with anybody else, and it's up to us not to actually talk about what they share with us unless we feel a need to share it with somebody else. But even so, we still need to ask their permission to be able to do that. So yeah, just to add that in, you know, when you're thinking about discipleship, pick somebody that you trust, but also for that person who is discipling, just to remember confidentiality, really.
Thank you. Okay, so where do we go this morning? I'm going to get you to take part a little bit this morning, but not in the same level as we did yesterday morning, just in the sense of I will shout one or two scriptures out and get people to find them, to read them for me, and have them ready. So if somebody can find Psalm 1 for me, and let me know you've got it and are willing to read it, that would be helpful, the whole of Psalm 1. Just to be ahead a little bit, if somebody else gets their finger in Joshua 1, verses 7 to 8, and then again, jumping a little bit ahead, if somebody gets Proverbs 3, 1 to 8, so that, and I'll give a few more as we go along, but if you can have them ready so that when we come to talk, to do those bits, you can read them out for me. I want to talk this morning about a subject that, for me, and I want to refer back to the triangle again, and it's very much in the top end of the triangle, this. It's very much in the love God area of the triangle. Sorry if you're here for the first time this morning, ask somebody else about the triangle, but for those of you who know what I'm talking about, it's right at the top end of the triangle as far as I'm concerned, this. And it's about the need of a personal devotional time. The need of us feeding ourselves and not relying on just what we get on Sunday mornings or what our leaders bring us. So that's the topic for where I'm going this morning. I'm not going to be long. I said to Russell, I don't want to be long this morning. I do want to give some time for prayer and ministry for your leaders to pray with you, if that is helpful as well, out of anything that we've done this weekend, but particularly again out of this morning. So hopefully I won't be a long talk this morning. But I think when we look at personal devotional time, one of the things for me, one of the first points in this, is we do need to really understand the need of it. We really need to understand and grasp how much we need to have a regular personal devotional time. And I think for church leaders as well. Very good. Very good. Very good. Well done, Vicky. Yes. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So we're looking at the need for a personal devotional time. The first point I'm saying is we really do need to understand that we need to have, if we want to be fruitful, if we want to see God's kingdom extended, if we want to see lives transformed, it's important that we're feeding ourselves, that we're growing and going deeper ourselves. And I was just about to say that, you know, for leaders, it's important as well that we are putting something in place that helps our folk do that, and it's constantly making sure that that's happening. We need to know where our folk are at with their own personal walk, and we can assume, and we're all guilty of this as leaders, we can assume that what we see on the external tells us that things are all right in the roots, and it's not always true. I continue to be shocked and amazed at some of the people I come across who I think have been Christians for a long time, look like solid Christians, and then when I scratch the surface, I find that their surface life is good. But when I ask, well, what are you reading in the Word? What's God saying to you? How are you spending time with God? And you find actually, from one Sunday to the next, there's nothing else happening in between. If you lived your life getting up in the morning and having just a drop of milk for breakfast and went out and tried to do all that you have to do, and that's all you had, and you never stopped to have anything else for the rest of the day, you wouldn't survive. But yet, spiritually, that's what we often try to do. We think we're Superman and we can go out there and do it without feeding ourselves, without sustaining ourselves. And the truth is that we will get to the point where when we go out to share with others, we'll have nothing to share. There'll be nothing there. The well will be dry. And so that's why, for me, this subject of personally feeding ourselves is so, so important. If it was a need in Jesus' life, surely it's a need in our lives. And we see all the time, Jesus said, I only do that which the Father tells me to do. Well, how did he know what the Father told him to do? He had to spend time listening. He had to spend time with the Father. And how many times do we read Jesus went and set aside, he went up the mountain, he disappeared, he got away from the crowds. He always took time to be with the Father, hear what the Father had to say, be fed by the Father, and then take what the Father gave him and do it and go out. And we are the same. If we don't, we will be dry and thirsty. So I wonder if somebody would just read for us Psalm 1. Okay, thank you. So, his delight is in what? And what do we understand as the law of the Lord? The Word, yeah. If you said to the Jewish people in those days, his delight is in the Lord, they would immediately think of the Torah. That's where they would be thinking, I delight in the Lord. And do you know what? They really did delight in the law. For us, it's a bit of a bigger picture now. When we look at that, we need to delight in his Word. And it says there as well, he meditates in it. How often? Day and night. Maybe we're not quite at the point where we can do day and night complete meditation. But There is something, isn't there, about, you know, as we walk, as we drive, as we work, as we sleep, that the thoughts of God are in our minds, and a lot of that is put there by the time that we spent reading the Word, listening to some worship, and praying. And what will happen to the person who does these things? These are just some things that I've picked out of there. He will become firmly planted, not easily uprooted from his faith by circumstances or surroundings, but steadfast in the knowledge of the Word. If we understand what the Scriptures say, if we can root back to Scripture, when we hit problems, when we hit struggles in life, when things are said to us that we don't understand, we will be able to go back to the Word and say, but what does the Word say? If we don't really fully understand the Word, we can get knocked, and we can be knocked off course as well. Has this been recorded? Can we pause the recording for a minute? Is that possible without causing you major? I just wanted to give that as an example. Because they're in danger of being knocked off by not understanding. And Jesus said, didn't he, to people, you misunderstand, you don't even understand the Scriptures. He said to the Jews and the Pharisees who really knew the Scriptures, he said, you err because you don't understand. And we do need to know and understand. So it will keep us solid, it will keep solid in our faith. It will cause us to be fruitful, and don't we want to be fruitful? Knowing God's Word is the key to fruit. It's like the feed that, you know, Elaine's the gardener in our house, not me, but it's like the feed that gives the sustenance and brings the plants their freshness and the fruit. The Word brings that to us. It'll cause us not to wither and not to dry up. And I know I've had one or two conversations here. My notes were prepared before I had those conversations, so I want to say that right now, because I'm not getting at anybody here. But my other point is it will cause us not to wither and not to dry up. And the number of people I talk to, Christians, who are worn out, who are tired, who are weary, the psalm says, will not wither and will not dry up. So if we are, there's something wrong. Because we're meant to be fresh. We're meant to be alive. And, you know, I've said to somebody even this weekend, you know, Moses is a classic example. Moses thought he could do everything. And somebody, his father-in-law, who we're not even clear whether he was a believer or not, but his father-in-law turns around and says to him, Moses, what you're doing is not good. You're doing too much. You need to share the workout. But yet we think we can do it all. And so I find time and time again people who are so busy at work, they're so busy with ministry, that all they get is a snapshot if they're lucky on a morning. I've come across folk in our church, and when I ask them, what is your quiet time? Well, I do Word for the Day. Do you know what? I think Word for the Day is great. It's a great tool. I read it, and I read it. One of the main reasons I read it is because as a church leader, I want to see what our folk are reading. I want to be aware of it. I think sometimes there's some great little mini-series that they do. Sometimes I read some of it and think that did absolutely nothing for me. But I want to know what they're reading. But it concerns me if that is the simple nub of all that they're getting in their quiet time. Because that's, you know, how many times do you read Word for the Day and it says, and read the Scriptures? It doesn't say, and keep reading Word for the Day. Because he knows, the guy that writes that knows that what's in the Word for the Day is not going to sustain them. But yet, I come across time and time again of people that say, what do you do for your reading? Well, I read Word for the Day. It's not enough. It isn't enough. And the other thing I come across on a regular basis is people who dip into the Scriptures. They'll just literally open the Bible that morning, read what's there, and, you know, whatever page they open to, great, God, you're going to speak to me through that. He might, but it's not a good way to read the Scriptures. We need to be reading the Scriptures in a way that takes us through in a methodical way, that gives God a chance to speak to us. either doing a plan where we know that we're not looking for a scripture that happens to fit what we want that day. We take the scripture and say, well, God, what do you want to say to me through this? And actually also read some bits that maybe wouldn't otherwise have read. I'm coming across maybe a bit hard here, but I can't emphasize enough how much being in the scriptures and around the scriptures is so important for us as Christians. And you might say, I'm only a young Christian. Do you know there are ways you can do it in a simple way that will gradually take you deeper? That step back, one more step across along the road, doing it step by step. The next words of that are from the old things to the new. God wants to take us from the old to the new. And we can do it, whatever level of faith we are. We can handle the scriptures. There are ways to do it. And I think discipleship, again, is part of that. If you're a young Christian, you don't know the scriptures very well, get somebody who knows them a bit better to do some reading with you and to take you through it. So it will keep us from withering and drying up. And it will cause us to prosper. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity, but I am saying God wants us to be prosperous in our lives. He wants us to be successful in our lives. And it comes again through following his word and following his ways and living in a way that God, you know, that honours God. And when we can do that, we know we can stand firm. Our daughter, we got a text yesterday to say that our daughter's struggling with a big issue. She's a head teacher of a behavioural unit in Stockton. And she's had a challenging time since she became head. She's only 35, one of the youngest heads in the county. And she's had battle after battle, and she's facing another big one at the moment where something's been said about her that's just not true. And it could cost her career. You know, and as parents, you're looking, it's hard. But one of the things she said to us, said to Elaine, is Elaine, we took some time out yesterday just to ring and make contact with her, and she said, one thing I can say, she said, the governing body know that whatever I've done through the time, even when there's been times when I could have lied and made life easier for myself, I've always told the truth. And no matter what comes out of this particular incident we're going through now, she will be able to stand and say, I've always told the truth, therefore, why would I lie about this one? And again, that comes out of knowing scriptures, knowing God, loving God, living in a way that honours God. We need to do it. Joshua 1, 7 to 8, anybody got that? Anybody quickly want to read that for me? Don't hold back. Anybody quick? Yeah. Yeah. That whole thing of root into the word, you'll be successful. Proverbs 3, 1 to 8. Anybody got that? Go on, Phil. There's stuff in there, isn't there? There's a suggestion in there that we'll live longer if we live in his word, that we'll be healthier if we live in his word. But I particularly want to look at the whole thing as well of trusting the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. For me, to neglect reading the word, to neglect our quiet times, to neglect engaging with God is as good as saying, I don't need you, God. I can do this on my own. And we clearly cannot. And it says there, if we trust in God, we will find favour from God. One of my favourite phrases that I use is, it's from Nehemiah. And if you read Nehemiah, you constantly hear, and it was the favourable hand of God. And we saw the favourable hand of God. And I'm always saying at HGC, we want the favourable hand of God with us. And for me, there's a suggestion there. If you want the favour of God, root into his scriptures. Develop a close relationship with him. Don't live it your life doing your own thing, doing it your way. Do it his way. Understand, and he'll make your path straight. He will show you the way. So what will we get from reading the word? I'm going to stop getting you to read verses out now. I could be here all day. But I'm going to just throw some verses out for you to look at later. If you look at Isaiah 58, verse 11, later days. But I've written down, what will we get from the word? We'll get guidance. We get water for dry times. We get strength to our bones. And we will be like a spring that never fails. All of that is in Isaiah 58:11. Those are the things that we will get from rooting into God's word. You want to know where God wants to take you? What God's purpose is? The biggest way he'll speak to you is through his word. I hear people saying to me, I just want God to speak to me. I say, well, are you reading his word? Because the biggest way he's going to speak to you isn't by some great prophetic word or an audible voice. It's going to be through his word. And actually, if we haven't read all his word and we're not doing everything he said in his word, why should we be looking for more word? Let's do what he's told us to do first. But he will guide us. He will speak to us. You want to know what to do for your future? Read the word and let God speak to you. One of the things I say to our folk as well is, if you're reading the word, have a notebook and a pen next to you. If you're really expecting somebody to speak to you and it's going to be important, you're going to want to write it down, aren't you? But when you're reading the word, have that pen ready just to think, God says something to it, I'm going to note that down because I don't want to forget it. I don't know whether you're like me, I forget things very quickly. But if you have it beside you, you can, I want to go back to that. You know, how expectant are we that when we read, God will speak? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and all the other things will be added to you. A little exercise for you. Go home and just look at the context of that verse and see what all the other things are. Because we sometimes misquote some of these verses. It's like, seek first the kingdom and everything will be added unto you. That's not what it says. It says all these other things. Well, what's the other things? Have a look in the scriptures and see what he's been talking about. And they're the things that he'll add. But we seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom even before our ministry. Even before reaching out to others. It's you know, you might say, well, that's part of kingdom. But a big part of kingdom is us knowing God. Our relationship with God, our closeness to God. And I'm one that's constantly preaching, go out and tell others. But go out in the strength of knowing you're in a good place yourself. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus increased in stature. Can somebody just find Luke 2 for me? And I want to look at 49 and say, what is the answer? Why did Jesus increase in stature? And the answer is in verse 49. Somebody shout. So is that verse 49? Yep. And what's the secret that, you know, he's about 12 at this point, they reckon. Why did he grow in the stature? Why did he grow in the stature before the Lord? What was the secret? He was always about his father's business. He knew what his father wanted. Why? Because even at that age, he's listening. It says there that the Pharisees were amazed that this lad knew so much. How does this boy know so much? I can promise you, he will have studied the Torah. He'll have been in the Word. We need to understand that there's warfare involved in all of these things. I don't know again about you, you know, I'm not one of these that is constantly looking for spiritual battles and but I am aware that there are spiritual battles there and the things we need to contend with. I don't know how you are, but I find the minute I want to have a quiet time, the minute I want to read the word, or the phone goes, or something happens to distract me, or I'm tired and my mind wanders, or I'm thinking about 400 other things instead of reading the word, there's a battle going on in my mind because the devil doesn't want me to meditate. The devil doesn't want me to focus. So we've got to understand actually sometimes that there's even just a little battle goes on to take us from doing that. You want to read your word, you're going to have to really battle for that ground. Because everything else will claw at that time. And it happens to me. I can sometimes realize I've been so busy. I had so many early mornings out where I'm thinking, man, I've not managed to do my readings. I need to get back to my readings. And I can feel myself missing it. So, you know, everything will battle to win that time off you. You've got to battle for it. But you do need to understand and constantly understand the blessing of it. There is a warfare there. There is a blessing if you break through in that warfare. Daniel, young man Daniel, a tremendous prophet, tremendous wise guy. What did he do? He prayed 3 times a day. He got his source from heaven. There are many examples. You'll know more than me. Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning, Jesus rose to go and find a lonely place to pray. How much do we pray? I don't know about you, I find actually prayer harder than reading the Bible. Again, that is when my mind does wander. I start to pray and suddenly I think, hang on, I'm thinking of something else here. Sorry, God, I've come back to where I was. Because there's a constant battle in my mind. And that's why often when I pray, you'll see me, I stand up and I walk around. Because if I sit and try and sit with my head down, I'm either asleep or I have my mind somewhere else. So I tend to walk as I pray. But we need to be praying. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, Paul prayed night and day. He says to his followers, doesn't he? I'm constantly praying for you. King David, Psalm 5, 1-3 says, it says he prays in the morning. In the morning, Lord, I seek you. If these guys needed to do it, we need to do it. Psalm 63, 1-6 says, David thirsts for God. He's just desperate for God. We sing songs about it, don't we? My soul longs and thirsts for you. Like the deer pants for water. Is that how we feel about our quiet times? That we just can't wait to get in the presence of God, hear his word, feel him touch us. So just some general things about the scripture. That first half was really just to say, come on, we need this. Let's get hold of the fact that we need it. And as we get into scripture, all scripture, 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by God and is profitable. Profitable for what? For reproof. I sometimes find God disciplining me as I read the word. As I look and think, it pierces my heart. I pray with some guys last Wednesday morning and I was just reminded of the phrase in Joel where it says, rend my heart. And I felt again God just stirring me and disciplining me through his word. That's great. I want him to do that. It's good for reproof, it says. It's good for correction, but it's good for training in righteousness. Scripture is good for us. That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do we want to be adequate and equipped for every good work? Well, read the scriptures. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is like a two-edged sword, piercing as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word can cut through where we can't see things. Often when I'm dealing with situations and I'm praying and saying, God, I just can't see what the issue is here. And God will just drop a scripture into my mind and I think, that's it. But if I don't know the scriptures, it's not going to drop scriptures into my mind unless there's some scriptures there. You know, I think sometimes we have this false idea that God will drop scriptures into our minds even though we don't know them. He may do that. More often than not, God is rooting into the depths that are already there and pulling them out and saying, do you remember this scripture? You've read it. We need to fill our minds with these things. Just some practical things about quiet time. Choose a time that suits you. Some people are morning people. Put your hand up if you're a morning person. Some people are evening people. Put your hand up if you're an evening person. Put your hand up if you're definitely not a morning person. There's some people who are so much not morning people, it's like keep out their way until they've come out of the fog. Are you going to get killed? You know? Whatever works for you, choose a time and make it a regular pattern. But what I will say is, whatever, choose a time. Whether it's morning, whether it's evening, whatever works for you, but make sure you choose a time and get it in to be a pattern. Create a pattern. Don't be haphazard. Get into it. Elaine will tell you, my time for quiet time is in the morning. I get up in the morning and I will walk into our front room. I have a little leather soft chair there that I will sit in, and Elaine will know if I'm sat in there, I've usually got a cup of tea, I've got my iPad, I've got my various bits and pieces, my book that I want to read, and that's my quiet time. And that's the way I do it. It works for me. And I like to do that because then actually I've got it with me for the rest of the day. But whatever, find a good time and make it happen. Don't get discouraged if you miss now and then. You know, we can start off and we think, I've been 3 days and I've missed it again. Well, it's a bit like riding a bike, isn't it? Get back on the bike again. You know, if you set out and think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to start having a regular quiet time, and then you fall down, start again. The devil would love to discourage you. I said last night, I think God's looking for people who persevere, who keep going to the end. Choose the right place, somewhere you won't be distracted by people or surroundings. It's no good trying to do your quiet time if you're going to be distracted by the kids or even by your wife. You know, I know if I'm in a situation where Elaine wants certain jobs doing, I'm wasting my time trying to get my quiet time done. It's just not going to happen. So I've got to make sure I get my quiet times done when Elaine's not on a mission to get the garden done or get, you know, it's just not going to happen. Pray before you start reading that God will speak to you. When you approach the word, say, just God, just speak to me. Even if it's just one thing that you get out of that scripture. God, I want one thing. And as I've said, make a note of it. Expect God to speak to you. For me, having a plan that you work to is far much better. You know, I don't know how many of you use YouVersion Bible on iPads and things, but I find that very helpful. If you've got an iPad, there's this thing called the YouVersion Bible. You can download it free, and you can download lots of versions of the Bible free, but it also has a lot of reading plans, short ones, long ones, and I'm at the moment going through one of their year ones where I'm reading the whole Bible in a year, but I'm reading so many passages. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I'm reading through certain books and I think, man, well, how do I get anything out of this, God? The good thing about that one is at least once I've gone my Old Testament ones, there's a bit of a New Testament one or a psalm, or I'm saying, God, just give me something good. I'm sick of the devastation and the wars and the killing. I want something good. But actually, it does give me some discipline. There's some lovely little plans on there about prayer or about worship or about love or about... But it's something that helps you. And I love to then dip into some devotional notes where somebody's written and see what they've got out of that and think, oh, I never saw that. You know, but there's plenty of things nowadays to help us. There's no excuses, really, for not getting into the Word. We can get it on our phones. I noticed Phil there, when he read out, was using his phone to read it out. You know, we can't get away from the Word. It's everywhere we want it. So, you know, even on our watches now, if you've got certain watches. So there's no excuse. But try and use some sort of plan. Don't be legalistic. What do I mean by that? When I'm saying use a plan, the problem with that is you can get to the point where you think, I've got my plan to read. And God says, but I want you to stop on this verse. Yeah, but I've got to finish my plan. And God's saying, but I want to speak to you. Just what about this verse? Yeah. If God suddenly gets you on something and you're in the middle of your plan, my encouragement, stop. Let the plan wait till tomorrow. There was a word this morning in the prayer meeting, wasn't there? Dwell. And that for me is sometimes we need to just stop and dwell. Not rush, but dwell. Say, God, come on, what do you want to say out? You know, that famous psalm, be still and know that I am God. I don't know about you, the hardest thing I find in life is to be still. I'm constantly on the move. One of the things some of my team will say is, you move far too fast. And I do. Sometimes God just wants us to stop. And so even if you're reading in your plan, don't be afraid to think, you know, there's something here that I need to root into even more. Let's just forget the plan. Read other devotional books alongside your Bible. If you're a leader, I would say to you, if you're not reading other books, you're going to be weak. And I'm a believer in the Bible, but I think we need to read wider than just the Bible. I've come across people who say, oh, I just read the Bible. And I say, oh, so do you know anything of what's going on around the world at the moment, what the Spirit's doing? Do you know what is happening in other organisations? Do you know what? No, I don't read that. It's important we read other stuff. There's some great leadership books out there. There's some great books that will take us back into the Scriptures, but give us a perspective on it. I constantly ask my guys, what are you reading? Not just Bible, what are you reading in books? I'm reading a book at the moment by Charlie Cleverly. Those who know Charlie Cleverly, Anglican guy, and it's all about Songs of Solomon. It's really challenging my thinking a little bit, because it's written in a way that I wouldn't normally read. But we need to be willing to stretch our reading, particularly if you're a leader. Include some worship in your quiet time. Now, you might say, well, I don't play music. I can't play music. For me, because I play the guitar and I play the piano, I can, you know, I'll sometimes sit at the piano and just play and worship. But you can put a CD on and just let God speak to you through the worship. Some people, you know, they're better by what they see. I said to some of our folk, if you're better by what you see, there's plenty of media out there that you can just put on, you know. I could worship by just watching. You know, when you get these screensavers that are, they just show you nature, and they show you some of the pictures we've had this week on when your computer's been off, you know, I can just look and think, you know, who is God that he can create all this and yet be mindful of little me? So, you know, sometimes if seeing is something that will help you worship, then do it. Walk in the park and thank God for the trees and thank God for his creation and drink it in. That's worship. We've narrowed down our thoughts of worship. When anybody says worship now, we immediately think singing. Get the hymn books out or get the guitar out. It's not all about that. But we do need to worship. When we're praying, don't just come to God with shopping lists that say, God, will you, will you, will you? God, I love you. That's what the Songs of Solomon stuff is teaching me more and more at the moment. About how much we should just love God and let him love us. We don't do enough of it. And at the end of the time, whatever you do, make sure you praise God. Thank God for who he is. Thank God for the time you've had with him. If you want a good quiet time, if you're married, this will help. If you're not, it won't. But if you're married, I always say, if you want to think about a good quiet time with God, just think about having a real romantic time with your wife or your husband. If you never spoke to them, it wouldn't go down very well, would it? If you always asked them for stuff and never said to them, do you know what, you're lovely. I love you. You're gorgeous. That's the sort of things we should say to God. God, I love you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. And if we're quiet, we'll hear him say back, and so are you. Because that's what he thinks about you. But if we don't take the time to be in his presence, to stop, get off the roller coaster, and spend some time with God, let him speak to you, let him wash over you, let him put new things in you. My encouragement to you as we finish our time this weekend is go home. Don't let anything stop you from pushing as much into God as you can, so that then when you go out as an evangelistic church as you are, you've got that freshness and you've got that real something to take out to the people that out there need it. They need it. But you've got to make sure you've got it. Don't go out there as a dry, shriveled up rag that can't give anything. Go out there as a soaking wet sponge that when they touch you, it just oozes out of you. The love that God's put in because you've spent time with him and he spent time with you. God bless you.